Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a real problem in the Republican Party. And you've heard me talk about this a lot, but I'm going to coalesce this, connect the dots, and just make it really clear as we go into this election year what we are looking at. Even if nothing bad happens to Trump, legally or otherwise, he will never get the nomination. You need to hear me and hear me clearly on this. I have experience in this. I experienced this in the 2016 election, and I was able to help bring pressure in the Republican Party that changed what I'm going to tell you about. But that pressure avenue, that leverage is no longer available to journalists such as myself. You know who I am. You know what we do here, and we're really glad to be with you. And this is a really important broadcast, and I hope that you'll find the time to share it, because anyone who thinks that Donald Trump's going to come in and save the day, you need to know what I'm about to tell you about Rona McDaniel, a traitor to the Republic, a traitor to the Republican Party, a traitor to America First. America First is an idea. It's not a Trump idea. It's America First. Our government should be working for the welfare of its people first and foremost above everything else. You're saying, well, it sounds reasonable to me. No, you've been declared to be a domestic terrorist. America First has nothing to do with MAGA. It's an independent concept that these people work against. Anyway, I want to just basically tell you this, that if you don't listen to this message and you don't share it, we're contributing to how the Uniparty and the Rhino Republicans are going to yet influence another election to the detriment of almost everybody in this country, Democrats, Republicans, independents, and agnostics alike. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. Do not leave your retirement in the bank. It will be gone. Noble Gold can help you get it out, back it with gold. You'll own it, and listen, they can't touch it. Same with your bank account. I've been a customer for 5 years, an advertiser for six. I have to make this disclaimer, though, courtesy of the FTC, who didn't warn us about Sam Bankman-Fried, but we'll do our due diligence. All investments carry a risk, and there is no guarantee of future performance based on past performance. We agree with that warning. Everyone should be advised of that, especially when you walk into the bank and it's no longer your money under Dodd-Frank, and they will take it. Let Noble Gold save it for you. You owe it to yourself to look over the material. I can send you a free information packet. No one's going to bug you. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, or you can call if you feel the urgency of the hour, 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Well, in 2016, I had an influence with some other journalists, but I really led the charge. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm not bragging. But I got the wife of a prominent Republican who said boldly in public, "We don't give a crap what you people want out there. We're going to put the Republican candidate that we want out there, regardless of what you think." Oh, I went ballistic. The main proponent is one of three people, but I'll talk about a guy named Corey McPherson. And I went after him hot and heavy. I left no stone unturned with that person. Everything I said was factual. Everything I said was truthful in terms of process. The allegations I made were founded in fact and proven to be true. And I hit the bullseye so hard that his wife contacted me and asked me to stop. Stop what? Telling the truth? That you're voting in primary elections where the leadership of the Republican Party was saying, "We don't care how you vote. We will tell you who the candidate is." They wanted Jeb Bush. Another Bush, just what we need in the White House, right? more treason. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. That's like the Joe Biden MAGA speech. Eventually, we brought so much pressure to bear. We said there won't be a Republican Party if you do this. And he said his wife wrote to me and begged me to stop. I published it all. Hey, look, if you let your spouse get involved and wear the pants of the family, okay, well, then you take what comes back your way, which was factual. It wasn't a personal attack. It was an attack upon lack of integrity, okay, lack of transparency, and lack of just flat honesty. And we were successful. Donald Trump became the 45th president of the United States. Well, we have another person standing in the way of Donald Trump. And its name is Rona McDaniel. She's a Romney. Do I really have to go further? Well, I will, but that's your starting point, a Romney. No evidence that this Romney was involved in Ukraine pre-war. No evidence of that. But lots of evidence that this Romney is a traitor to any America First candidacy. And by America First, we don't mean pro-Trump. We mean America thriving, employment's good, the budget gets balanced, our military is strong and can defend us. That's what we mean by America First, among other things. Listen to me. Listen. She sabotaged or tried to the 2016 election. She was part of that group. They had to back off. She sabotaged Donald Trump in 2020. She sabotaged the midterm elections of 2022. She sabotaged the recent elections last month. Oh, we got the result we wanted, she said on mainstream media news stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you sure did, Rhino. She sure did. America First becomes America Last in the Romney family, and particular Rona McDaniel. There are people who've called for her removal. Blake Masters, who is kicking the crap out of his Democratic opponent in Arizona until Rona McDaniel and another traitor, Mitch McConnell. Oh, I make $25 million a year from the CCP and their ports. Mm-hmm. I get maritime money. Yeah, because my wife's parents control the six major ports in China. He declares it. Technically, it's legal. Should be treason, but technically it's legal. I don't think it's ethical, and I think it should be the basis of voting him out. But Mitch McConnell, Rona McDaniel, opposed 8 senatorial candidates who were putting America First. They worked against Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake, outstanding candidate for governor in Arizona. They worked against her. In fact, it was so bad that that treason against the party and the will of the people filtered down to the local level. And I've said this before. Now you're going to get the context. Bill Gates, who I know personally, not that Bill Gates, the Bill Gates who's the chairman or was the chairman then of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. And then, of course, Stephen Reicher, the current county clerk and recorder for Maricopa County, the most corrupt county in America. These two took out a pack against America First candidates, including Blake, including Kerry. GOP working against GOP. That's what Rona McDaniel is. GOP uniparty tied to the Democrats, tied to the establishment, tied to the World Economic Forum, tied to the United Nations, tied to everything that undermines American sovereignty. This is who Rona McDaniel is. And others have called for her removal. Even Ramaswamy, who I don't trust, but he does sound a good game here. Even Ramaswamy has said, she's got to go. Blake Masters said, Mitch McConnell, Rona McDaniel, better hope I don't get elected. And he didn't. They are traitors to the American cause. Is it a crime? No, I don't think so. With Mitch McConnell, it may be in other ways. For Rona McDaniel, no. I'm not alleging criminal behavior. What I'm alleging is unethical behavior, deceitful practices, pretending to be one thing and actually being another, sabotaging the will of the Republican Party membership. That absolutely is true. And it's been proven to be true election after election after election. And she will pull money from Donald Trump. And they're using money to try to weaken his campaign if he survives. Why? Legal fees. He's already spent, what, almost $25 million in legal fees? And if they withdraw money for him to run, right, if they hold that back, that problem is going to exacerbate. And he'll get outspent by a Democrat. And since still most Americans vote on name recognition, I don't know about the issues. This is why I do this show, so you can share these videos and educate people that what's happening is really mattering. I don't care about politics. I'll just vote. And I'll just, well, it looks good on TV. Fine with me. Okay, that kind of attitude has destroyed family budgets. It's destroyed the economy. It's weakened the military. It's made America vulnerable to terrorism and war and invasion. This is big stuff, people. This is a big deal. Those of you watching say, I hate politics. Really, did you like dipping into your savings last month? How about borrowing on your retirement just to pay for food, rent, and mortgage? How about that? Do you like that? Well, Ronan McDaniel and Mitch McConnell, they're just fine with that. They don't care who gets hurt. They're not in this for America. They're in this for a seat at the table of what follows the demise of the Constitution, the American dollar, and our way of life, not to mention our culture, our traditions, and so forth. That's who she is. This is why even people in the Republican Party who should fear her because she has a lot of control over the purse strings, they're speaking out against her. Well, it's time that we speak in unison. Vote her out. Demand her removal. Now, I don't even trust their election when they voted for her in the last election. And there was a lot of funny business. I'm not going to go into the details, but I'll, you know, I might resurface it again. But I covered it. Secret election, secret counting of the ballots, lack of transparency. But those are just the highlights. I'm not going to go into the details. But if you have Ronan McDaniel as the RNC chair, the Democrats will control the House, the Senate, and the presidency in 2024. Have you had enough? How are you doing compared to 3 years ago? Hey, Democrats, listen to me. How are you doing as opposed to 3 years ago? You think this is just a blip in the economy? No, this is a move towards socialism. And this is what happens to the people when you embrace socialism. And we've even got Bolshevik communism with Nazi overtone enforcement techniques. Oh, yeah, you know, like the FBI kicking in the doors of school board protesters who are breaking no laws. That kind of Nazi overtone. Is it time to do something? I hope you'll agree. As a Republican, you need to demand that she be replaced immediately with someone who is America first, not America last. Remember, you can't trust a Romney any farther than you can throw them. And she is a shining example. She should go stand next to Mitt because they're two peas in a pod. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv. Why? Because we're kicking butt there with expert panelist guests that we come on, we bring them on, and they talk about critical issues. Most of them have been involved in regime change. I will say this, that we suffered a great loss on our show with the passing of Bob Griswold. I can say this now because he's gone. He was former CIA. He knew all about regime change. Yeah, he knew all about it. He used to come on my show and just 1, 2, 3. And you knew he was more than a guy that just ran a survivalist organization, which I think was the best in the country. But I will miss Bob dearly. We were friends. I respected him. He was reliable, truthful. He loved God and he loved America. And Bob, he's lucky he gets to meet the Creator. But the rest of us left behind are sad, very sad. And the shows that he appeared on will be a little bit less because of his absence. God rest Bob Kudla. I mean, Bob Kudla. I'm sorry. See, I'm so upset I even got the last name wrong. Bob Griswold. Bob Kudla is still alive and well and coming on my show next week. But Bob Griswold was a great, great American. A great American and a great Christian. I've had people contact me from all over the country. Administrators from the radio networks were on. But is it really true, Dave? Yeah, it's really true. And it's a sad day, and we lost a great ally. God rest your soul. He may comfort his wonderful family. We'll see you back here next time. Hey, everybody. Thanks for staying with us through the introduction into the guest segment of the show. This is Dave Hodges. As you know, we are the Common Sense Show. We're the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And we have Chris Street with us. And Chris used to work in Homeland Security on a very high-level committee. I'll let him tell you about his background a little bit here. But Chris is breaking a story of international importance. This affects a lot of things going on. It really confirms a lot of the suspicions we've had about foul play, cover-up, aiding the Biden administration. And rather than have me get into it, I'm going to let Chris tell the story. Chris, welcome to the show. Always good to see you. I've enjoyed what you've done before. I appreciate the help that you're giving Paul Preston with New California. But this is a big deal regarding this explosion that just took place. And so I just want to throw it to you. And if you want, could just give us a little bit of your background and then jump right into the story, please.
Well, Dave, I have a sort of different background. My family grew up in Santa Clara, California. My mother was the first woman city council there. And so my father was a famous rocket engineer. So I understand all of the venture capital history, how the people connect and such like that. Went on and, of course, you know, got involved in the financial industry. Back in the early 90s, I was probably the largest bond trader in the Western United States. And through that process, I outed Bob Citron, and which ended up causing the Orange County bankruptcy. And as part of that process, I was involved in the restructure and sort of took those experiences and figured out that restructuring companies was, you know, very interesting and profitable. And because of my background in these restructures, I got involved in, including being CEO of several New York Stock Exchange companies. I ended up being attracted to sitting on the Homeland Security Region 1 Advisory Committee. At this time, Sheriff Lee Baca was the chairman of that committee. And the number one terrorist target in 2000 when I joined was Disneyland in Anaheim, California. And Region 1, people don't understand this, but since the 1970s, California bank deposits have been larger, Los Angeles bank deposits have been larger than those in New York. So although New York claims to be the financial capital, you know, the money capital is actually Los Angeles. And of course, with the nexus to Asia and the boom in China, it was the place to be. Mm-hmm. So I ended up sitting on this advisory committee. And one of the issues that came up in the middle of this advisory committee was something called Global Crossing. Now, Global Crossing was the first, massive fiber optic lines going to Asia through Singapore and then on to China and became the backbone of really globalization. And this Global Crossing went bankrupt in 2002, and the plan was to sell it to China. And because of my unique situation, it's one of those organizations, if you know what I mean, when they give you presentations, and then when you chirp in with new and interesting information for them, they start sharing information back and forth. So I wasn't, on the quote unquote inside, but I provided a tremendous amount of color to this particular issue and my experience in reorganizations, my experience in financial, especially wire transfers and all that. Global Crossing wanted to sell itself to a Hong Kong company and a Singapore company. And CFIUS, which is the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States Act, wanted to know the risks of that transaction. And this was a very important organization. And I helped, I think, communicate that to people in Homeland Security. Because you know, this thing was the backbone to communicating to, I believe, 70 countries and 700 cities. It provided the network peering. And network peering, Dave, means when a computer wants to send something, it's going to talk to other computers through fiber optic line. Peering tells it which server to talk to, and you know the basis of all encryption is basically sending packets, data packets, in many different computer servers, and then reassembling them back. That's a sophisticated process, and this company, Global Crossing, was going to control peering going into Asia. So needless to say, you know, my input on this was that, you know, this was going to provide computer network peering, virtual private networks, which of course are very interesting, leased lines, audio and video conferencing, long distance telephone, managed services, dial-up, co-location centers, voice over internet protocol, all on the highest and most sophisticated new Internet Protocol 6. And I helped them understand the dominant position you'd have if you controlled this coming out of Asia. Got to stop that. So my process is I gave a lot of information on Global Crossing. They gave me their side of it. And what was very, very clear is Global Crossing had the keys to the kingdom financially. Anything to do with illegal activity, wire transfers, you know, stealing IP, intellectual property, all that, this was Godzilla. And I didn't, you know, voice that they shouldn't sell it to Chinese. I just gave some input. And the transaction was denied by CFIUS. And one of the people on CFIUS, supposedly head of their security, was a fellow named James Yu. And James Yu was famous now that he blew himself up yesterday in Arlington, Virginia, which, as you may know, Dave, is sort of cop land for the CIA. So, you know, this was a extremely high visibility issue. Supposedly the police were going to serve search warrants on the house. And he has a colorful background about the backstory is supposedly he hates his wife and blah, blah, blah. But when they went to serve these search warrants, they went in Bearcats. These are the big, you know, recreational vehicles for, you know, the police use when they want to do SWAT and things like that. And so they never got out of their Bearcats. And the guy then blew his house up spectacularly. Initially, it looked so large, it was like sort of 5 pounds of C4 plastic explosive. But I now believe that it was what's called an air gas explosion and a very sophisticated one. So this guy, who supposedly was crazy, living in Arlington, Virginia, with the keys to the kingdom for everything to do with front doors, back doors, side doors, on money wire transfers, you know, SWIFT system and all that, wasn't living on an army base in a 10 by 10, you know, place, and was still alive, doing what he could do. So it seemed to me that this was not an ordinary situation. And I think I provided this information, which I think now is starting to spin, because this organization, CFIUS, has 16 departments of government, plus the Department of National Security and Homeland Security, and of course is deeply embedded with the Central Intelligence Agency issues of, you know, criminal fraud and state actor activity. So this wasn't any ordinary, you know, Tuesday morning, you know, here in California.
Chris, do we know what the search warrants were looking for?
I don't know that. The cover story is that somehow he'd upset his wife or something. And I'm just saying that it's not this guy is a I know what I know, and I know what I don't know, and what I don't know is at the level of the most sophisticated, capable criminal on the planet.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. So
this guy not only knew all of the front doors, back doors, securities, all of the structure, but clearly knew, all of the embedded issues of national security in this, in this massive line. They used to take submarines and park over transcontinental telephone lines and, put a device on it and listen to the calls. They could do that. No one had this yet when it was fiber optics. But I guarantee you that all of these issues have been discussed, and was one of the reasons that this company, Global Crossing, was denied purchased by China. China eventually bought the Chinese subsidiary for the company, but China, unlike every other country in the world, big country, has only one node when you come into China, and you got to go through that node, this choke point of information. The U.S., I believe, has five and about 13 smaller ones. But China is very unique like this. And, these lines really were, globalism 101.
Could, is it possible that the communications network, part of what he was in charge of, could this have facilitated communication between, say, the CCP and Joe Biden for these alleged payoffs now that Congress is looking at?
Well, that's right. Remember, this came 2 days after the Congressional Committee stated that they have not only the wire coming from China, but the direct wires coming from Hunter Biden to his father in 2018 as the former vice president of the United States. It also came the same day that FBI Chairman Christopher Wray was testifying in Congress trying to save FISA. This is essentially allowing the CIA to use, tools that were restricted constitutionally to surveilling foreign subjects, to surveilling Americans. So the timing of this was really extraordinary. And what this fellow, James Wu, knew was over the top. Was he protected and allowed to sort of do his thing there? Was he, was just nobody, that part is very interesting information. I can just tell you that, that I believe you'll find that there was surveillance of this guy, and that he must have had something very, very big for the way he went out. Had these officers come in, burst in, he could have French fried about it at least a dozen law enforcement. It would be one of the greatest terrorist hits in history of America. He was prepared in every way, shape, or form that he knew he was somehow going out, and he was going to go out with an incredible statement, or a state actor decided to make sure that absolutely all the evidence here is absolutely completely gone.
Okay. But my mind's racing, so forgive me for asking this question, but
conspiracies are real,
Yeah, I know. Sometimes they are.
I'm not a person here to say what I know and what I don't know. I'm a person here to say, these are the things I believe are true.
Understood. Yeah.
And people have to start. I mean, the beauty of crowdsource media now is that I hope from our call today that hundreds of people will talk to hundreds of people we'll talk to very sophisticated people and or talk to people that hide in their bedroom and, you know, 13-year-olds that are wildly talented. And we'll get to the bottom of this, because everything about this guy was the walking atomic bomb, you know, for data transfer, security, wire fraud, all that. This guy had it all. I can't understand why he wasn't on an army base.
I understand what you're saying. It should have had the supervision. How long has he been in that position, and how did he obtain that position?
I don't know how long he's been in the position. I just know that he was security chief for CFIUS. I think there was a restructuring of this in the mid 90s. So I don't know where he came from before that, but I do know that on his timeline for LinkedIn, he talked about he was in charge of Global Crossing and, you know, the Global Crossing issues and security for Global Crossing. So that had to be during the bankruptcy from 2002 to 2004. I'm just telling you, at that level, I know what my security and understanding of security is.
Mm-hmm.
His is absolutely at the top. Now, also the fact that he's a Chinese national, it doesn't mean he's not, you know, his family hasn't been here, Chinese descent, hasn't been here for 200 years. But it seems extraordinary that, you know, this particular issue would be, you know, it's very difficult as a Chinese person here in the U.S. Because it's China's tribal, and they have your relatives over there, and they, you know, at every chance they try to use them. I'm not saying anything against the guy, but seems unusual he would be in that position with that kind of those concerns.
I agree. There has to be a wink and a nod between our government at some level and their government in China. I don't see any other way that this could happen.
We're going to find out a lot more about James Wu.
I have some other concerns, though. Would his position, and I think I know the answer, would it have put him in a situation where he could have done economic spying for China? In other words, China knows, well, the U.S. is allocating this much money to this kind of project and involving these corporations and these banks. In other words, you're getting into real security information here regarding things like weapon systems. Is that possible he could have had access to that?
I don't think he was. His weapons of mass destruction are bigger than atomic weapons. He would have had the entire, you know, financial backbone of the world. He would know everything about.
Could he have caused a calamity and caused
this? He could have bankrupted countries.
That's where I was going with this.
I would, you know, if he really was mentally ill and he decided to take out, you know, small to medium companies in Asia, he could put them on their back.
At the risk of sounding like I'm writing a spy novel, I'm wondering if they recovered the body and formally identified him.
There's the latest news I heard is that they did find a body. I find that strange, because such a blast, you know, would have vaporized into a lot of pieces, that
well,
body. Maybe, you know, because normally the, you know, gas, you understand, settles. Gas weighs, you know, more than air. So it would have settled. And the amount of gas that was in that building, you know, would have had to settle and build up to have it, the efficiency of the blast here. And I think your viewers have probably seen this. The efficiency of the blast looked more like something, you know, high grade military stuff that I'm familiar with, plastic explosives. But my belief now is it was somehow a very sophisticated treatment for an air gas bomb. And he would have had to have breathing apparatus so that he could build this layer up without passing out. So there had to be a lot of planning.
Yeah. There's a lot of gaps here. And I'll tell you, I'll tell you, this is something, if I was investigating this, I would put this on the table to look at. I want to get your reaction to this. Was he the body they found? Did they have a caretaker there? He'd have been in a remote location and surveillance would have detected cops coming, and which would have triggered the explosion. That's the kind of thing I would be looking at now, because it seems like he's such a valuable commodity. You wouldn't want him necessarily to throw away his life in that fashion.
I believe it was him in the building. Yeah. I have some other information, but I can't. I'm not.
Okay, I understand.
I'm not confident that it's 100% true, but my understanding is him in the building, that things had happened in the run up to this to concern law enforcement that they were walking into a terrorist attack, and other precautions may have been made. I think what we're doing right here by getting this information out, we'll start that process of people wanting to know, what did he know? When did he know it? And why was he allowed to be, you know, in the wind when this happened?
There's another fact here that's come forth from your description that really concerns me. And it's, he had to have been known to our government, given his position, well known. So here's a search warrant. Okay. And it's going to a highly secured location with a highly important person. You got to wonder, where's the FBI? You would think automatically this would have triggered a response at the federal level, way above and beyond local police. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, remember, this is in a community that's just loaded with, you know, CIA agents and, you know, deep state folks. I mean, this is, you know, this building that he blew up, which is really, I believe, an attached home, was $900,000. That's a lot of money on the East Coast for a small. It all didn't make any sense. You know,
yeah,
he would have made money, and maybe that's what he bought with what he made, but he would have done consulting and other kinds of things, it would seem, and he would have made a lot of money. And his ability, if he went over the line, is beyond a lot of money. It is spectacular money. You know, who was he continuing to work? Who was he working for? You know, was his craziness a way to sort of distract from other things he was doing? Nobody knows. And
I don't buy the craziness, Chris, because he wouldn't have been left in that position if he was really crazy and not reliable.
I believe they have 10 by 10, you know, padded places on army bases for people who could be a problem.
Well, as I'm peeling back this layer, trying to understand what you seem to understand about this, it gets down to this too. You already mentioned the timing, okay? You've got testimony in Congress. You've got the potential impeachment. This is now part of the process, maybe. And what I'm wondering, if this isn't an espionage operation that Biden was being paid off for from China, and this is what they couldn't have discovered, and this is why the explosion took place. What do you think?
And that's why more information is going to be gained for the public through what we're doing right now than,
understand,
you know, through the mainstream media. I mean, this is, if in the old days, you know, mainstream media guys would be running all over finding contacts.
I know
this information would have been out in about an hour. Isn't it interesting that the information I'm giving you 24 hours later, nobody's touched it. Now, I gave this information to people who probably gave it to people. But I can tell you that it's just starting to spin now.
Yeah, but the timing is too suspect for this not to be related to Biden and China. I mean, I'm sorry, I was born at night, but not last night. And this just doesn't make any sense. And Comer's not going to come out with the statements he made, and other Republicans too, unless they feel they got something substantial in their back pocket.
I think they've got a lot. My understanding is they've got a lot. My understanding is not that I know how this guy is involved.
I
don't believe someone like this would not have that he was getting special treatment, being able to be in the wind, you know, living in Arlington, Virginia, without, you know, a couple army vehicles around his house.
That I agree with, and also to what it seems to me is this man, he could not have concealed all his CCP connections if he had them. There's just no way, not today's age. And so what you're saying about security not there, and he's operating a lone wolf operation that's that sophisticated, that's just not believable.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? For me, as a professional in the finance industry, you know, and I was involved in the bankruptcy of Orange County, I know the sophistication of the money system. I, from being on Homeland Security Advisory, I know the sophistication of criminals. I mean, criminals are the, you know, they're the PhD of science when it comes to finance, for the simple fact that, you know, they're trying to stay ahead of the game. And so, you know, there's, you know, this kind of information, you know, could hack the entire Bitcoin blockchain,
really?
I would believe, and there have been hacks. He may not personally have understood this or had, but he knew who knew, and he knew, you know, what information he would have come across. And I guarantee you, Wall Street security firms, you know, would have loved to hire him as a consultant, but obviously they couldn't. I mean, financial people couldn't touch him as a consultant unless the highest level of government, and I mean the highest level of government, gave the sign off.
Okay, now I'm going to, this is a really hypothetical question, because I don't think the government on the Biden administration side wants to, this truth to come out, but let's assume that it did. And you're the principal investigator, and you had a choice now which to pursue first. Would it be criminal mafia type activity, or would it be espionage? Which direction
State
would
actor.
You go first? Pardon me?
State actor.
Okay, and that category would fall into treasonous criminal. Investigation?
Criminal, okay. You know, everything, espionage, criminal, all that. So the first issue has to be state actor, because he's around. You know, how did that take place? You know, criminals would have known about him also. I'm sure that, you know, over his career, criminals would have tried to make connections. You know, espionage, you'd be an amateur if you didn't try for this guy.
Sure.
So I just, it doesn't make any sense. And if it doesn't make any sense, Dave, if it doesn't make any sense, it makes all the sense. Are you following me?
I do. I understand. Now, there's clearly obfuscation going on, but I guess too, what I'm wondering about this is, how does a Chinese national with any connections to the CCP, how does he get to be the head of this organization? It's crazy.
I would think that it doesn't make any, it wouldn't, I knew the concerns for, you know, espionage and people been here for 200 years of China descent. When I was on Homeland Security Region 1, you know, that was very, very clear. And, you know, it was nothing disrespectful to say that you would use somebody who doesn't have family connections back in the old country if it had to do with England. let alone China, who at the time was, you know, an unreally under was, we were just starting to understand the military buildup and financial and military buildups, of course, in modern times have to do with your ability to, you know, destroy financial transactions or loot countries or, you know, bankrupt them or poison their ability to pay soldiers. And I mean, all that is part of the, you know, the weapons of war today.
It reminds me of Confessions of an Economic Hitman on a much higher level. Yeah, that's what it puts me in the mind of. What about the ability for people like us to FOIA his communications with government types, maybe in the CIA or whoever?
You absolutely have that right. And in 20 to 50 years, you may get something.
You answered my question. That may have been
I'm with the government. I'm here to help.
That may have been the best answer I've ever been given to a question like that. Yeah. In other words, that trail's going nowhere and that dog doesn't hunt. I hear you.
Say that.
No, for now, if we want immediate answer, I agree with you.
In real time, but, absolutely not.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if I put on my conspiracy hat, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. Okay. And how I'm going to choose to look at this initially. There's no question in my mind Joe Biden's committing treason, and his mission is to take down the United States. Actions speak louder than words. And I think this may be one of the conduits of which he's doing it. And I think this person was providing information to the Chinese that does harm to America, and he helped facilitate that beginning when he was vice president, because we see similar things in Ukraine. This is not totally isolated, I think, to China. Biden's actions, you look at some of the things that he did with Ukraine, no, it's not in the best interest of our country. And I think underlying this, if I was to just say, okay, I'm going to go after this and I have the resources, I'm looking at treason.
Well, Dave, so you're actually potentially calling a conspiracy the fact that 180,000 rifles sent to Ukraine are now missing. And you know, Hamas seems to be armed to the teeth. So one of those things.
And leaving all the equipment behind in Afghanistan. Yeah, exactly. There you go. All he had to do was blow up the base and the equipment in it, and you don't have to worry about terrorists getting the, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean, there are protocols for all of these issues. The interesting thing about the Biden administration, it was a complete rejection of everything that Trump stood for and was doing, because what Trump stood for and what he was doing was he was pulling the curtain back. And that, you know, is an existential risk to the deep state, who really think you have, you know, you gotta love the Bolsheviks. I think it was Stalin that said, it doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I'm not here to say this guy, what this guy is or isn't. I'm here to say that this needs to come out. And the only way it's going to come out is by crowdsourced media research. And yeah, that's the reason I put it out. It's going to help people know how to get years ahead of research. So once you understand this guy was key in Global Crossing, you should be able to, there's going to be people who can, you know, jump ahead to connect his dots. I mean, maybe he's just a guy living in Arlington, you know, that didn't like his wife and decided to blow himself up. Not particularly a good story for the next book. You know, and we know that the books years later come out on these issues tend to be very, very colorful about what was really going on.
Chris, I have to tell you, the cover story is not even believable. It's not even a good cover story. It's not. You know, you have more experience in this field than I do by far, but I've covered enough of these kind of issues that, you know, you can smell the nonsense from a mile away. And if they stick with this cover story, it's going to turn a lot of researchers loose on this, because they're not going to buy it either. And it does need to come out. And given the fact that Biden's implicated in treason now, if you're taking direct payments from a foreign government, what the hell are you doing? You're betraying your country. So I think that you're right on the money bringing this out. What about the personal risk to people who look into this, such as yourself? And what do you think?
I'm a pro at this. If you're going to be involved in something like this, you better send it out to a large net and make it obvious.
Yeah, so, Paul helped you.
I've made sure that this is out, and you saw the way I wrote this. I did not write this in a way to cast aspersions to generate conspiracy theories, rather to communicate facts as I know it, for an issue that seems to me to be of vitally importance to the American people. So it would be most inconvenient for me to sleep with the fishes right now.
I hear what you're saying, but I think your statement, given our conversation here, was very conservative, very close to the vest, tried to stay as close to facts as we know them. And that really jumped off the page at me. But you wouldn't be putting that out there, in my estimation, if you weren't saying, hey, we need to look at these things closer. And I'm right there with you, my friend. I really appreciate you bringing this out, because there's probably three angles I'm going to look at this from, and I've already mentioned all three here on the show already. But the timing is the thing that gets my attention, the timing. And you have to wonder, too, here's what I'd like to know. Could Comer have been preparing a subpoena for this person in support of other information they've obtained? That's one thing I want to look at, too. And we may never know, but I don't see Comer playing ball with the other side. His reputation rests on getting an impeachment charge levied against Biden. If he fails in that, he fails politically. He has motivation to do this right.
You mean radars like beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
I can't comment on that. And I won't comment on that one. But I hope that the truth comes out faster than 20 to 50 years. I hope it's 20 to 50 hours.
Let's hope so. And the trail's fresh right now. The longer this goes, the harder it's going to get information.
Those footprints are there. Well, in what I do in technology, we call that the breadcrumbs. You can follow where they went down there.
Sure.
And the hardest part about this is to understand the complexity of what he had access to. And even for me, who's a technical person and a financial person and sat on real, positions of input, I know I don't have his knowledge or breadth of knowledge. Now, I'm very here. He would be here, 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 and here. So his understanding of the collateral issues here were absolutely extraordinary. I just doesn't seem
there's something
normal
off here.
That this wasn't handled.
I have one more question. Given your experience and issues related, you have the ending of one operation. Would you expect to find a parallel operation that could take its place?
Well, I'm not saying what operation this is. I think that there were many operations associated with this person. Other people would be ghosting this normally in business. I mean, I don't think the things I've said are not unknown to the highest level of business people in the U.S. and in Asia. They would have had full dossiers on a character like this. They would have had full diagrams of how the investigation of CFIUS denying approval for China Netcom, which is the company that wanted to buy, was the direct company in China that wanted to buy a piece of Global Crossing. So they would have had all of this diagrammed out in excruciating detail and would have paid retail for it. They'd be happy to do that. So, what are these processes? How many of them were active? I would assume that you'd like to know about that.
I think you're absolutely right. Wampoa comes into this too. Could you address that before we go?
Yeah, Hutchinson Wampoa. And now Hutchinson Wampoa is a very, prestigious, sort of investment banking firm, venture capitalist investor in Hong Kong. And remember, this was right after Hong Kong was turned over, and I believe it was 1999 was the official handoff. So all of this would have changed after China took control of Hong Kong. So they would have had full control of Hutchinson Wampoa, my opinion.
That's telling. for a lot of reasons. Well, Chris, I appreciate you putting this information out. I appreciate being included on the distribution list. And thank you for your time and coming on. And when you have a follow-up, feel free to contact me and we'll get you back on again.
Well, I'd like to make some common sense here. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.